that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
Gymwits. Gymwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Gymwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.
So it's funny how when we were teenagers, you were a really big baseball fan. And then over the years, you just sort of kind of lost interest in it.
Yeah. I became a cynic, a sports cynic in a way. Like there's so much money involved in sports that I feel like it disconnects the athletes from the fans and the owners from the athletes and the owners from the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels like I'm so corporate that I just lost interest. And also kind of felt like, and this isn't to, you know, disparage anyone who is a big fan of sports, because like I watch tons of TV. So it's kind of the same idea, but it's kind of like, well, they don't care about me.
Sure,
why am I obsessing about these people who are participating in an activity that I, you know, just isn't connected to me? Like I just have a something about it, you know. But I love MMA and I'll follow, and I love boxing and Muay Thai. And I think also in some ways, like, you know, I've been around the biggest MMA stars and they're very down to earth and kind of approachable. They're also a lot less famous than the biggest athletes in other sports. But I feel like, for whatever reason, I just kind of became just disconnected to sports. I used to be a big sports fan. And I just feel like I'd rather spend that time focused on me or focused on something that interests me. But then again, at the same time, like, I am a hypocrite because I do watch lots of TV and I find other forms of entertainment that I'll waste or spend lots of time focused on. So it's not really a negative thing about someone who does follow sports. Just, you know, being a big, big fan of baseball and like living, you know, it is, I'll tell you what, it's living and dying with it. That's the part, the fan part, because, you know, I could be a fan of like Game of Thrones. But if there's a bad episode or a season's bad, it's like, all right, that sucks, but it's not going to kill me. Where it's like, if you're a fan of a baseball team,
it's like
if
torturous.
Your team doesn't win, it's torturous. Or, you know, if they're doing poorly, like it messes with your day. You know, like like, you know, when the season ended, if they didn't win, like I was miserable for a few weeks. Or, you know, if you live and die by it. And I just feel like, that's the part I can't deal with. Like that living and dying by how a group of athletes that, you know, don't have nothing to do with you, you know, how they are.
It's funny that you mention living and dying, because there's actually another way that a fan's living and dying, because there's actually another way that fans live and die. It's actually by going to the game itself.
Nice segue. We did not plan that.
And that's what our interview today is about. We have Jack Herskowitz, who is an attorney and an adjunct professor and an author, and he wrote a book about how Major League Baseball has basically responsibility to their fans and how fans are getting injured and even are dying at the games for various reasons, you know, foul balls, you know, alcohol-related incidents. So without further ado, here is our interview with Jack Herskowitz. Hey everyone, we are here with Jack Herskowitz, who is a former attorney, an adjunct professor, and an author. Hey Jack, how's everything?
Good. Nice to be on with you.
Awesome. Yes, thanks for being on the Gymwits. So before we jump into our discussion, can you tell us a little bit about your background athletically? I know you mentioned that you played some baseball.
I played baseball, actually, since I'm 10 years old. Played in high school with success. I was all-city and all-state as a shortstop at Miami Senior High School. And from there, I went to the University of Florida on a baseball scholarship and played college baseball. Actually, it's in my blood to the extent that I've played softball around town for over 30 years. So I consider myself a student of the game, a sport that I love, and it's in my blood. Otherwise, athletically, I've always stayed in shape. For many years, I took a circuit training class three times a week and fit it into my busy schedule. And currently, I ride a bike and work out as well.
Oh, that's great. And just so that you know, Ryan and I are also pretty big baseball fans. I think Ryan used to be a much bigger fan when he was younger. We used to play baseball, never seriously. As I always say, with everything else in life athletically, I was mediocre at it. I thought I was a pretty good hitter, right?
Yes.
I could hit pretty well. That was my sort of one thing. Ryan was the speedster. You know, and he could make stuff happen on the base paths. So he was pretty good in that regard. We had some fun playing baseball. Ryan is a Yankee fan, and I'm a Mets fan. Who's your favorite team?
Well, the hometown team is the Miami Marlins. So you could say that I'm presently a Marlins fan. I was a Yankee fan for many years, but now I follow the home team.
And I guess before we jump in, what are your thoughts on Jose Fernandez and what a tragedy that was?
Well, that was obviously a very sad situation. Here was a young guy with tremendous potential, cut short very, very quickly. So he made an impact in the community to the extent that they're actually going to have a statue in front of Marlins Stadium of him.
Hmm. Yeah, I know it's wild. When I heard about it, I was just shocked that it happened. But I guess that's just, you know, that's the world we live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess to get to the real meat of this discussion, you're the author of Danger at the Ballpark, and I understand that some of your motivation for writing this was due to personal experience. Can you tell us a little bit about your own kind of personal experience and how that shaped you and motivated you to write the book?
Oh, yes. Actually, there were two incidents. One, my wife came with me to a ball game, and she has no interest in baseball, so she was reading a book. We were sitting in the first deck above the screen behind home plate when a foul ball was hit directly in her direction. I stood up and I caught the ball. Fans gave me a rousing round of applause, and my wife looked up as to, hey, what's going on? But if that ball would have hit her, it would have really caused a lot of injury to her head and face, and I would have had no recourse because the law protects Major League Baseball from liability. The other incident was almost life-changing. My grandson, Ryan, who was 6 years old, and I was sitting behind the Marlin dugout. The Pirates were playing the Marlins. Xavier Nady, a Pirate outfielder, was at bat. Ryan asked me, said, "Poppy, can you move over a seat?" I moved over one seat, and on the next pitch, Nady hit a wicked line drive off the seat that Ryan had just vacated. Now, if he had been in that seat, it either would have killed him or caused a permanent injury, and my life and his life would have changed forever. But those are the two incidents that really inspired this book.
So what's the book about?
Danger at the Ballpark points out that baseball is the most dangerous spectator sport in America. There are more people injured at the ballpark each year than there are batters hit by pitchers. And that's not only from foul line drives or flying bats, but fans falling over railings, fans fighting with other fans or with players, often as a result of the unrestricted sale of alcohol at the ballpark. And even injuries caused by the team mascot, all of which could be prevented if Major League Baseball implemented safety features and policies at the ballpark. But the reason they don't, and this is a big part of the book, is that the law protects Major League Baseball, its teams and stadium operators from liability, unlike any other business or industry. So there is no incentive to make the safety changes for the benefit of the fans that are necessary. And there are many people, the book goes on to tell case histories of people who have received devastating injuries and even been killed at the ballpark as a result of the lack of safety features and the inherent nature of the game and the construction of the ballparks.
So
that's what it's about. A lot of case histories and how the law protects the sport.
Well, that is that's very interesting. And of course, you would almost imagine that the law would protect it. Baseball makes so much money for this country. It employs so many people, and it's so popular that it's almost would feel like it would be slanted. But this actually brings up a very interesting discussion, and it almost reminds me of the atmosphere at a gym. So you mentioned that there is no liability for Major League Baseball, and now you're the attorney, so you would really know this. Even the classic instance is you go to a gym and you sign a waiver saying if you get hurt that the gym is not responsible. But someone gets hurt, and if they can prove negligence in any way, the waiver is moot. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, in general, you are correct. But the difference is that gyms, like other businesses, the owners have a duty to use reasonable care for the safety of its customers. In baseball, the standard is that the fan, the spectator, assumes the risk of any and all injury when they enter the ballpark. So in baseball, there's a different standard, and that's why there's no liability. A gym is in the same boat as almost all businesses in America in having a standard of reasonable care for safety of its customers. And the fact that there's a waiver or a release signed does not excuse negligence. And that's the difference.
Why does Major League Baseball skirt that? Like, how is it that, because it would appear that if there's a significant amount of injuries, that would be reason for some level of negligence. So how is Major League Baseball able to kind of get past that?
Well, they get past it because there's a law called the baseball rule. And that provides in essence, that spectators know the hazards when they enter into a ballpark. And because they know the hazards and choose to sit in an area not behind the screen, that they assume the risk. However, it's a big fallacy. A lot of people don't know the risk. Certainly children sitting in the second row don't appreciate the risk or the danger. But notwithstanding, that's the law, and it goes back to a 1913 case and has existed for more than a century. So baseball, you know, like they're exempt from antitrust laws, also have this favorable law, and that's the difference. They could implement standards such as safety netting going down from the backstop to each foul line, like they have in Japan, where people don't get hurt, because if there's a line drive or a thrown bat or a broken bat going into the stands, there's netting to protect the fans. Also, baseball, because they have no liability, chooses to keep the railings in the upper decks and around the outfield walls deliberately low so as not to block the view of the spectator sitting in the first row. And if they didn't have this standard of assumption of the risk, they would have to change.
So have there been any major lawsuits brought up against Major League Baseball with this in mind, or has that been something that's just not been approached? Because we're in such like a litigious society that one would think that if injuries are that common, that maybe we'd see a number of lawsuits.
Right. My book details this, the cases. There have been a number of lawsuits, most of which have been unsuccessful. There was a recent class action in California, which was dismissed, where they were asking the court to mandate that Major League Baseball implement safety features such as netting going from the backstop all the way down to the foul pole. And the court dismissed the case on the basis that in California it didn't have jurisdiction to tell ballparks in other states how to operate. So the lawsuits, by and large, have been unsuccessful. There has been many of them trying to get around the baseball rule. But to date, it has been the standard, and therefore the cases have been unsuccessful.
So I know you had mentioned a couple of stories that happened to you, but what are some of the other sort of outrageous stories? I know that there was a very unfortunate incident with a fan I forgot where it was, but he was basically going to get a ball for his son, right. And he fell over and unfortunately passed away from his right. injuries. And then there was one where a fan, I think in San Francisco, was assaulted and unfortunately right. passed away. I know there was a lot of alcohol involved in that right. one. So I know that those were two very unfortunate stories. Do you have any other ones that just sort of stand out? You're like, wow, how could this happen?
Right. The two incidents you mention, I tell about in my book. There are many other unfortunate cases. There was a case of a lady, for example, who was posing for a picture, and she backed up. She was in the upper deck, and she went right over the rail because it was a low rail. There's another case of during a rain delay, a man went running back to his seat, and the ground was wet, and he went over the rail. So low railings, just as you mentioned, which was a case involving a man named Shannon Stone. A ball was thrown to him by Rangers outfielder Josh Hamilton, and he leaned over to catch it, and he went over the rail on his head and died in front of his six-year-old son. That's the case you're mentioning. Now, there are numerous incidents with fans because of the rivalry between teams and the contention among fans that result in fights, injuries, and death, usually fueled by alcohol, because there's no liability to Major League Baseball or its teams for selling unrestricted amounts of alcohol. The only prohibition is that they can't sell it to minors. Mm-hmm. And there's been cases where minors teenagers have drank a lot of beer at a game and walked out of the stadium only to be hit by a car. So alcohol is a big part of that. Also, the low railings, as I said, are among the dangers at the ballpark, and I spell out the different cases, including the two you mentioned. So
yeah, it's just a pretty crazy if you think about it. Do you think that Major League Baseball will take steps? I know that in the unfortunate case of the man who fell over the railing, what team was the home team?
That was at Texas Stadium.
That's right. I know that I don't know if they compensated the family, because obviously, I don't know what happened there.
They didn't compensate
the
family because the low railings are within the code. So the stadiums are built properly.
I figured they would do it just as a sign of good showing.
Create a danger.
Wow. So do you think that Major League Baseball will actually do anything to fix this issue? And if not, what is it going to take before they actually do anything?
Okay. I think eventually there's going to be a public outcry. There are a number of stories, and in my book, there's a lot of research. In the bibliography, a number of articles that have been written. Every time an incident occurs, there's a story about it, and and the public becomes aware of it, and then it goes away. But what might result in change is two things. One, the public outcry might be loud enough, and secondly, the players' union may take a stance in the bargaining agreement with Major League Baseball, because the players themselves are upset when they see fans injured. And the players have recommended in the bargaining to the owners that safety features be implemented, but they haven't really stood their ground. And because of the law, the safety features have not been implemented. But two things: a public outcry and the players' union taking a strong stance on it. Those things could eventually lead to a change. And I think eventually Major League Baseball will make the changes necessary with the netting and other items to address this issue.
So I read somewhere, I think it was like 1,750 fans are injured per right. year, which sounds like a lot. It's more than a few a day, but when you consider the amount of paying customers to games, it's, you know, upwards of, I don't know, 70 million or something like that. Right. So statistically, it seems insignificant. Now, I'm not saying that it is. Obviously, every injury is worrisome, but what do you say to people whose argument is that it's kind of such a small number that it's a risk that I guess should be assumed by baseball fans?
Well, it's true, but the injuries from falls and flying bats and balls are devastating injuries, and to those people that it occurs, and many to kids, it changes their lives and that of their families forever. So I don't think the percentage is important. I think what's important is that the safety features can be readily made. The argument of Major League Baseball against putting up safety nets is that it impacts the baseball experience, and the players can't readily throw balls to fans, and that fans don't want netting. But I think that's a specious argument, because they have netting behind home plate, and the seats behind home plate are the most expensive seats in the ballpark. So the bottom line is that there can be changes, and even though the percentages are small, why not prevent those injuries, which are usually devastating? So that I think is my response to what you would say about the percentages.
Yeah, and it makes sense. If it's something that's easy to fix, and if you could make that percentage of injuries even lower than it is, why not do it? Especially, it doesn't sound like anyone would be going way out of their way. It doesn't sound like an enormously expensive project.
Right.
Seems fairly simple to do.
Right. It's done in Japan.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, hockey made changes when a young girl was hit by a puck and died. And hockey made changes putting up nets and plexiglass in the areas that were dangerous. And when the issue of a distraction from the game or the experience was raised, the commissioner said, a guy named Gary Betts said, in 3 minutes, the fans will forget the net is there. And I think that's very true. And that would be the case in baseball.
As all our listeners know, we're a fitness podcast. So I just have a couple questions I'd like to pick your brain on. And I know it's a sort of a big issue nowadays. And we always say that the athletes of today are bigger, stronger, and better than they ever were due to technology and even without performance-enhancing drugs. And I know that it's funny that caused more of a black eye for baseball than fans being injured and killed, right? They cared more about people taking steroids. It almost shows the sort of where our moral heads are at in this country. But with the players being bigger and stronger and supposedly more fit, why are there so many injuries? Or were there always all the injuries and players played through them and pitchers can't even go 7 innings nowadays? What do you think is the reason for that, despite the fact that the athletes are better today? Seems to be more injuries and they can't last as long.
You know, that's a very good question, unless it's specifically because they work out. And maybe it's a physiological thing. You know, it used to be in baseball, the thinking was that lifting weights was not good for a baseball player because it made him tighter. Pitchers used to go the whole game and lasted longer, and there were not near the amount of injuries today. So even though they're bigger, stronger, and faster, the answer could be because of what they do to keep in shape, the body breaks down, ironically enough, quicker with a game like baseball. Because in baseball, there are certain mechanics that apply to a pitcher and apply to a hitter. And maybe if their muscles are tighter, even though they're stronger, That may be the difference, because it's valid in the sense that in the old days you had less injuries, and the thinking was that weightlifting and fitness training, that kind of training, was not good for performance in baseball.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
You would think that with the best trainers possible, they would figure out a way. You could say maybe their muscles are tighter. I would assume that the trainers would take this into account and do stretching or whatever things to counteract that. But mm-hmm. I guess who knows?
They do a lot of stretching.
Yeah, I'm sure. And maybe it's also just the way that the game has gone. To be super, I guess, the efficient in a way, it's become more specialized. Pitchers are very specialized. Even hitters are very specialized. So that just, I guess, the whole game has changed in that regard.
So I guess I have another question based on the size of the players and the power. Has there been an increased incidence of injuries with, I guess, there being more kind of powerful, stronger hitters? Or has there been any kind of spike in the last 10, 15, 20 years or anything noticeable? Or has like the rate of injuries among fans been relatively stable over the years?
The relative rate among fans or players, are you saying?
Among fans. So I'm saying kind of like, so let's say we have a situation where the ballparks are smaller.
Oh, okay.
People are closer to the game in general. Those anything close is at a premium. So ballparks are kind of being designed with that in mind. You have bigger, stronger players who theoretically would be hitting. You've got bigger pitchers, bigger hitters, which means balls are, flying out at faster velocities. So yeah, just that, like, have there been more injuries over the last, let's say, 20 years since even 25 years, where we've seen a spike in, the size, the power of players and the size of the ballparks being smaller and more intimate? Has there been any kind of noticeable increase in the fan injuries?
Well, I don't have any statistics, for a 20-year period. The statistic of 1,750 fans, which you cited, was a Bloomberg study that was made and showed that there were more fans injured than there were batters hit by pitchers. But the difference in years past and the present time is also distraction from the game. In years past, people used to go to baseball to view the game as a singular event. Now it's become an entertainment extravaganza. The scoreboard is an entertainment center. You have mascots, cheerleaders, people have iPhones. So there may be more injuries nowadays because people are paying less attention to the game. The ballparks are being built more intimate. The players are stronger. The fans are closer. Which also may have something to do with it. But I think a lot of it has to do with the many distractions when one goes to a game now as opposed to past years.
Hmm. Makes sense. So I guess this would naturally lead into the next question, which is what procedures, safety procedures, should people take and what should they consider when going to a game?
Well, that's a very good question. Certainly with regard to railings, they should be of the fact that the railings are low, and the only thing I could suggest with regard to sitting in areas close to the field are they have to really pay attention with each pitch, even though I have to say many times, even if they're paying attention, if there's a bat that comes flying into the stands or a hard hit foul ball traveling 100 miles an hour, there's little they could do. But the short answer is they need to be aware that it is dangerous at the ballpark, and even though they're there to have fun, and it all seems like a lot of fun, there are dangers that exist, and they need to be aware.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. I saw a video on YouTube where a girl got hit basically in the face. She was okay with a home run during batting practice. It was hit, home run. She just didn't expect it to come. She was on her phone and poof, came in and hit her. Right. So that's, you could actually view that video. So I guess be aware is really where anywhere you go, just be aware. Anything could happen
right
at any time.
But especially if you're talking about a sporting event, in a baseball game, because baseball, part of the game is to hit the ball hard, unlike football or basketball. There's really no danger to the fan in terms of being there, accepted, you know,
except for the malice in the palace when the players jump into the stands and causes a riot.
That's true. So baseball's unique in that way. There are things that could be done and should be done, and perhaps this book will have some effect. I intend to send it to the baseball commissioner and to the union, but I don't know that anything will come of it.
So where can people find the book?
Well, the book is on Amazon now, is where they can find it. There will be a website up shortly, within a week also. But the main source is to go to Amazon, and the book is readily there.
Fantastic.
I've gotten some good reviews. People may be interested if they go to check it out to read the reviews.
What will the website be?
I don't have it yet.
You don't have the name.
It's just in the works.
Okay. Well, certainly let us know when you have it, and we will post it up so our fans can take a look at it.
Okay. Will do.
Excellent. Well, Jack, thank you so much for coming on the Jim Witz. Really sort of an interesting topic that a lot of people don't think about. Even baseball fans probably don't think, oh, there's a big risk with going to the game. I guess intellectually when you think about it, oh, yeah, there is a risk, but you just don't think about it. You know, you watch the games on TV and you're focused on that or whatever, on your phone or whatever. You don't realize there is quite a risk.
Right.
So thank you for bringing this subject to light, and hopefully Major League Baseball will take the proper steps to remedy the situation that's going on right now.
Well, okay, thank you, and it was very nice to be with you.
Great. Thank you, Jack.
Take care.
I guess it's one of those things that makes sense. Oh, yeah, going to a baseball game is dangerous, you know, foul balls or getting attacked by another fan or falling over a railing or something like that. You think about it, but I guess when you really look at it, it's pretty crazy. There are a lot of injuries that happen.
Yeah, I guess the question, there are two questions, I think. One is, I wasn't thrilled with, but, you know, no injury should be taken lightly. But if there's 75, you know, you divide 75 million by 1700, it's still a very small number. So it's one of those things you ask, like building a skyscraper, is it worth the however many people might die building the skyscraper? Well, some people would argue yes, some people would argue no. So it's kind of the same thing for the enjoyment of the game. Is it worth the injuries? I'm not saying I think it is. I'm just wondering, like, what, how do you answer that? Like, what amount of injuries is worth? No, I get it, that you can make it safer with some simple.
That's the whole thing. It's not that there's any event where lots of people gather, there's always going to be something that happens. That just goes without saying. I think Jack's argument are that the injuries and the incidents that can be prevented simply, those are the numbers those are the statistics you need to look at.
So I guess the second question is,
when something could have, if you build a higher rail, if that immediately gets rid of it with only that, then even one incident that could have easily been prevented is too many.
Yeah, and then I guess the other question would be, if everyone not only assumes it but understands the risk and is okay with it. So let's say, you know, then does that change it, or is it still a bad thing? You know, but I guess again, it sounds like it's such a simple fix. You know, right? You know, higher. But again, maybe will that bother people? Will having extra netting bother people? Will having the higher railings bother people? I get that, you know, behind home plate you have netting, but I don't think there's a person alive that would want to sit behind home plate without netting. I think that's just even crazier than being anywhere else on the field. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dilemma, but it's. It's strange because we really don't hear that much about it unless there's like a really serious injury, and then it essentially gets swept under the rug.
You hear a lot more about that. What's his name? Beaned Bryce Harper.
Yeah,
and then Hunter Strickland, and then there was a big fight. You'll hear a lot. You'll hear about
some
that
bad
weeks.
Some bad punches thrown. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's just bad. Has anyone ever kicked like a front kick with the cleats, or is that like I thought that would be so bad.
I think there's a code,
yeah,
among players.
Like, but what happens? Like, if let's say you kick somebody in the stomach, let's say, you know, there's a fight breaks out and a player kicks somebody. Is that then like assault? Like,
sure.
Because like they don't
absolutely be assault.
Because I mean, has
they
anyone
assault anyone for anything?
Yeah, but I mean, has anyone been charged for like a bench clearing brawl? I don't think so. Right?
I don't know. I know it's happened in other sports.
But you know, if you're you know, I mean, at the end of the day, baseball fights happen. Kind of. I mean, not as much as hockey, but I'm. I guess the question is like in. Has there been a situation where somebody's like kicked somebody else?
That you can something has had to happen.
I'm sure it's happened, right?
Somewhere, something has had to happen. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
But I think there's a code among players. Like they'll settle it. You know, they'll settle it their way, right? You know, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, right. They're all make at the end of the day, they're all making millions of dollars, so they don't want to injure themselves. Yeah. But in a way, I actually kind of like to see the fights because it shows that they. It makes for good entertainment, and it shows that they're into it. Well, one interesting point I had asked him not about the whole fan injury thing, but about the player injury. He talked about how the players are athletes in all sports are bigger, stronger, faster, just more fit than they've ever been, and not just because of steroids, but just because of technology and better training methods. And so, why are there so many injuries in baseball and really other sports too, especially baseball? Why are there so many injuries? And he had mentioned that maybe the lifting weights cause the muscles to be tighter. I don't really buy that because I know he's not an expert in that topic. He's just giving it, you know, off the top of his head.
There are a number of theories. I think there are a couple of. There are two things that stand out to me. One is overtraining, overuse. Mm. I mean, no matter how you look at it, whether you're playing baseball or basketball or golf, you know, that many repetitions that regularly without rest is going to lead to injuries. I think one, you know, there are a couple of things that you want to take into account here. First is how often did players report injuries in the past?
Well,
I think now they make so much money that it.
Investments
you have to if you're hurt you have to take care of that because you're if you're paying somebody for 6, 5, 6, 7 years and it's year one or year two or even you know later on like at the end of the day you've got to everybody's thinking down the road so if there's a small or minor injury better to take care of it now and not have it be a career threatening or career ending injury where you've then thrown away a lot of money so I think part of it is I would think that the reporting of injuries is much higher than in the past. The other thing is just, again, with the increase, these are swinging a baseball bat is violent. It's a violent movement. Throwing a pitch is a violent movement. So when you have these forces that are greater than they've ever been, and you know, it just makes sense. Like the kind of the physics of it, you're dealing with a higher, potential for injury. So yeah, they have these advanced rehab practices and advanced training. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with the strength training necessarily, because as tight as they might be, they have state-of-the-art rehab facilities. They have athletic trainers. They've got physical therapists. I mean, they have enough staff on hand that everybody, you know, will be trained properly. So I don't buy that much that it's the weight training. Again, you know, to some extent, I guess having more muscle as a physical therapist will put to me, I guess, you know, it's kind of the more potential you have. It's like risk reward. You get more power, but then the injuries are sometimes maybe a little bit more severe. So maybe there is something to just the overall strength and size being greater that will lead to more injuries. But I think it just has more to do with the forces and the wear and tear. And again, the reporting of injuries to me, that to me would be why we see more injuries more so than you know, maybe players just being tight from strength training. Because the other thing is, like, you know, especially now, I think maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago where kind of maybe exercise physiology wasn't as well understood, they're far more focused on kind of functional training and functional strength. And yes, they're doing their weightlifting, but they're doing it with an eye on, you know, full movements and movements that translate directly to hitting a baseball or to pitching or to throwing or to running. They're not just sitting doing, you know, bench pressing and bicep curls. So I think that part of it as well, they're going to be more, their bodies are more fully trained, and they should be less tight because they're going to be doing training that's more centrally focused towards baseball.
What do you think about this?
Baseball.
With athletic training and the concept of really, you know, exploding and putting everything into it, that with pitchers who now can't go six innings if you're fortunate, maybe the training has sort of trained them to really go all out, almost like to really push themselves, and so they run out of gas when pitchers in the past maybe just based on their training, naturally didn't put everything into every pitch.
I don't know because I'm not.
Currently, if you look at the number of power pitchers, there are more power pitchers nowadays than there ever were.
I haven't been following baseball in a long time, so I wouldn't know for sure. But I mean, taking your word for it, that would make sense, right? If you're putting that much more stress on your arm, so it would make sense from both the standpoint of durability and also just game to game that you're not going to have the same kind of power that you would throughout a game. So it makes more sense to get limit their innings game to game, and also limit the innings year to year, because again, you only have so many miles on the arm, and if you're throwing power like that, you've got to take care of the arm. So it makes sense that teams are going to be more cognizant of that. And then we obviously live in an era where they're specialists. So, you have people who their job is just to be in, get a couple batters out or, pitch a couple innings. And so, teams can afford to rest, their star players, as much as they can.
Interesting thought. So, all right. Well, you guys know where to reach us.
Yep, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com. That's where all of our social media, Ask the Trainer, all that stuff. You can find it there. Send us questions. We'd love to answer. So that is it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.